I know him, he knows me. When my burdens are so heavy, he rescues me.
When I fall down on my knees, he takes me higher than the trees. I know him, he knows me.
Once I was a sinner, I had no peace within. Then Jesus knocked on my heart's door, and I invited him in.
He saved my life completely and gave me victory. I know him,
I know him,
he knows me. I know him, he knows me. When my burdens are so heavy, he rescues me. When I fall down on my knees, he takes me higher than the tree. I know him,
I know him,
he knows me.
When the book of life is open and the Lord looks down the roll, there will be some there on that day, he'll say, I don't know. When he calls my name on that day, he'll turn to me and say, I know him,
he knows
me. I know him, he knows me. When my burdens are so heavy, he rescues me. When I fall down on my knees, he takes me higher than the trees. I know him,
I know him,
he knows me. When I fall down on my knees, he takes me higher than the trees. I know him,
I know him,
he knows me.
Group of cowboys riding along, and then all at once they saw a grass fire coming towards them, and they could not escape because the grass fire was immensely wide. So one of them had the bright idea, let's start a fire of our own. And one said, why would you? There's lots of fire coming. So they started the fire and burned the grass around them and said, that fire can't touch what has already been burned. How many of you know that? That fire can't touch what already has been burned. The judgment that is coming cannot hurt us because of the judgment that already we had. What was that judgment? The Lord Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. So don't worry about what's going to happen. Don't worry about what's going to come. Just make sure you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're going to see some very interesting stuff happening. I've been watching this for the last 30 years. I've been anticipating what we're seeing now for years already. And it's happening, and I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, Lord, I can't believe they're so blatant, even though I knew they were going to do that because the Word of God has taught it. I was listening to Pastor Frog. How many of you know him? He nearly had a nervous breakdown. Why? Because of what's happening all around us in the church. And the Word and the Holy Spirit spoke to him. What's the big deal? You already know why. It's written. It's there. These things will happen. So the question is, do we know Jesus or are we worried about the things that are on the horizon? Do we have a relationship? That fire is not going to touch me because I've been burned already. And ain't can't judge me anymore. God took the judgment from me. Hallelujah. Today I want to teach on what we need to look for and how things are going. It's very interesting if you keep your eyes on what's happening in Scripture and what's happening on the world scene, almost like a hand fitting in a glove. So before we get into this, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, O God, that you will open our hearts. Help us to be at ease and at peace so that we don't have to worry and be blessed and enjoy our relationship with you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 24, listen to this in verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many because iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold. I used to think that meant the church. There are false prophets in the church, but a false prophet can really not harm the church very much, especially when it comes to your salvation. If you know that you belong to God, let him be a false prophet. He may lead you astray in a little way or lead you on a different path. It doesn't really matter, except it'll cause you pain. It'll cause you anguish. You might get separated from your friends. But your salvation is secure if you're born again by the Spirit of God, regardless how that false prophet leads you. But the false prophets that I'm seeing today are on the world scene. How many of you have seen that 16-year-old girl from Sweden? Olga from Sweden. Inga from Sweden. Anyway, she can talk, I'm telling you. But the moment they start asking her questions, she doesn't know what to say. The only reason she can talk is she's been trained to say exactly what the globalists are telling her. The globalists have an agenda. It's called Mother Earth. And we're going to worship this Mother Earth regardless what happens. And their best for us now is global warming or climate change. We have to make sure that we stop eating beef so we will not have this world going shot. We've got to get rid of all our fossil fuels. We've got to get rid of our planes and trucks and whatever else that burns fossil fuels. Have you noticed they were pretty good? They were asking us to stop burning fossil fuels. But now that America has become totally independent, they're really nailing that coffin down. We want to stop this consumption of fossil fuels because it doesn't affect us. What's happening in the Middle East today with Iran, if that would have happened 4 years ago, you would be paying $2 to $3 a liter for gas. But because America, because of Trump and America being self-sufficient, and Canada included, the gas prices are kept at a minimum. So this is what's happening. We got those false prophets out there. They're telling us this world is going to end in 12 years. So why don't we just party, have a good time? For in the next 12 years, I got enough money, I think, to last me for 12 years if I just take 3 meals a day. That'll last me. You think so? If we eat lots of sandwiches, sure. But they're predicting everything's going to be underwater in 12 years. We should go for higher ground. Well, that's what I'm waiting for, is higher ground. By golly, I'm not waiting to be underwater. And for there, I want to share something with them. This world is not going to go underwater anymore. But it's reserved unto what? Fire. Fire is going to take out the planet. That's the next problem. So if you get heat waves. So these false prophets are all over. They're out to deceive. And those young kids, I look at them. As they scream out in their frustrations, look what you've done to the planet. Our kids are not going to survive. We've come to the point where we are not going to have kids because there's no future here on this planet for us. The Bible teaches us men's hearts will fail them for fear of looking upon what's coming to this earth. The false prophets are going to make it worse and worse and worse. And we, the church, need to tell them there's a way out. It's called a vertical way out by Jesus Christ. Luke 21 in verse 25. Then there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity. The seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking at the things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So God is showing us those things. We do not have to worry about them. If God is showing us these things, He will also show us how to prepare for them. Remember, when the flood was announced by God to Noah, He said, now make you an ark. And He gave him detailed description of the ark. Here's what you do. You make it this way, and this way. And when the floods came, when the rain came, Noah was prepared. He was ready. Now Jesus is telling us here the same thing. There's going to be distress of nations, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. And He's giving us instructions to get ready. Is He telling us to dig a cave somewhere in the mountains where we will be able to store food? I know a lot of people who do that. It's unbelievable. If you like preppers on TV, watch them, how they get ready for the apocalypse that is to come. They're unbelievably stupid. But this is the world system. But at the same time, I know Christians who fill their basements full of water and of soup and of toilet paper. As soon as they hear something happening, they run to the store to buy generators and all that stuff. Hey, it's good to be prepared with a generator in case the power goes out. But to get ready for an apocalypse, to get ready for something that is so beyond your imaginations, there's one way to get ready, and God has it in here. Have you ever read on the instructions on how to get ready for what's going to come? I'm going to share it with you. Listen. First, we have to qualify. Luke 21, verse 29. He spake to them of a parable. Behold, the fig trees and all the trees. When they shall shoot forth, you see and know of your own self that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know you the kingdom of God is at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. So the question is, who's going to see these things coming to pass? We're starting to see them. We see the tsunamis. We see the earthquakes. We see the confusion on TV. We see the world running to and fro. The Bible teaches us, in the end they shall run to and fro. It says that generation that sees that generation will not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. So, we are the generation. We're supposed to take advice from God on how to get ready. How on earth do we get ready? First of all, things are going to happen to us. In Luke chapter 21 in verse 16, you shall be betrayed both by parents, by brethren, by kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. I want you to think a little bit. There are places in the world that where people turn to Jesus, and what happens to them? They're being put to death. But I got a question that hits very close to home. How many of us have we been betrayed by parents, by brethren, and by kinsfolk? How many of us? I can point to one of them. It's me. I was betrayed. They're supposed to be my people, the ones that look out for me. No, you believe in this strange belief. Get away from us. We don't want you around here anymore. And you do not come back unless you change. Turning to Jesus, there's always a price somewhere. The Bible teaches us, you will suffer tribulation. Yes, you will be betrayed if you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your best friends will turn against you because they do not understand the Spirit that has come to live within you. When I became a Christian, it took a while for me to figure out why people shunned me. I was still the same drunk. I was still the same smoker. It took a while for me to get rid of that. I would do mostly the same thing, but for some reason, they hesitated to come and pay me a visit. They hesitated to come and taste the wine I just made a couple of months ago. Why was that? Because they were afraid of what I was going to say. What was I going to say? I was going to tell them this. Hey, Jesus saves. He loves you. He loves you with all he's got. And he doesn't care who you are, what you are. Come to him. He saves you. But guess what? They don't understand. So you are being betrayed, whether you like it or not. Luke chapter 21 in verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We've been betrayed. We see the terrible things that are happening, the weather patterns. We see the false prophets all around us. We see what's happening in the church, accepting the homosexual as if he is one of us. No, the Bible teaches us if you are in that lifestyle, you are an abomination. When you become a Christian, you become a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. I was born a drunk. Am I still a drunk? No, that passed away. I was born a pornographer. Am I still into that? No, that has passed away. I was born a rebel, rebellious against authority. When I look at authority now, I respect them because I know they're put there by God to keep the law. It says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. What on earth are we supposed to wait for? It says in Titus chapter 2 in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We see all the stuff happening all around us. It tells us, there's this thing coming to pass. We should look up, lift up our heads, and we should look for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, Noah had instructions on how to get ready for the flood. We know that Lot had his instructions. He said, get you out of here before God destroys this city. What are our instructions? That we should get ready with putting up food, trying to plant stuff that is organic so that we survive. No, that's not what God says. God has given us the instructions. It's written down here for us. It says, look for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And it can happen at any moment. There's nothing left on this earth that needs to be fulfilled, except maybe for the times of the Gentiles to be finished. When God has his number, then he'll say it's closing time. And I believe a day is set. But it could be today yet. It could be tomorrow. We should wait for that imminent return of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to ask a question today. How many of you, of here, us, on the internet, are waiting with anticipation, not just to escape, to get away from our troubles? Are we waiting with anticipation to be in the portals of glory? I just can't wait. Let me tell you, if there is something ahead for me that I just cannot wait for, it's the coming back of Jesus for me. I couldn't care less about a big bank account or a car or whatever is out there the world has to offer. I know that can be gone within a blink of an eye, but my eternal salvation is set in granite. It will not move. And the moment Jesus comes back, I'm out of here. Hallelujah. I'm out of here. And for the rest of eternity, I'm going to be spending with God, never having to worry again about the things that we are experiencing here. What an incredible situation the Christian has, looking for that great God. Does that give you hope? When I'm in trouble, when I'm somehow in a situation where I feel there's trouble on ahead, I always look, nothing the rapture couldn't handle, hallelujah. Nothing the rapture couldn't make right. This is always to what I'm looking for. Of course, God says, occupy till I come. And how do we want to occupy? Tell as many as you possibly can that Jesus is coming and you need to get saved. Never mind get drunk with the drunken. Never mind get into the world system. Tell people about Jesus, for he is about to appear. It says we should look for that blessed hope, the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 21, in verse 36, there's an interesting scripture. It says, watch you therefore, pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. The Bible teaches us that it'll come quickly. It'll be like a snare on a trail which you put up to catch a rabbit or something. Without them knowing, they get caught. But he says, watch you, pray always that you're accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass. What all those things are there? It's called the Great Tribulation, the Great One. 7 years of terrible judgment upon this planet. God is going to pull out all stops. He says, my fury will come up in my face as the demonic realm are released on this planet. Satan is thrown down to this earth, and God will pour out his wrath. In the meantime, the salt of the earth will be watching from the portals of glory. So
are you ready for that? How are you ready? How do you overcome? It is very easy. You don't have to join some church. You don't have to get water baptized. You don't have to do any of those things to become an overcomer. The Bible teaches us this: believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say speak in tongues, and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say raise the dead, and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say pray for the sick so that they'll be healed, and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say join some prayer meeting, and thou shalt be saved. No, it's a simple believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that gave you salvation at the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. This is how you overcome. You overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Is the blood of the Lamb upon you? Has it washed you, cleansed you, made you holy, made you pure, made you righteous? Are you sealed under the day of redemption? Have you become a new creation in Christ? Since you have accepted Jesus, is your attitude towards sin changed? Or do you still want to flirt with it, run after it, maybe have a little more little fun with it? No, when I became a Christian, I realized something. Slowly, the sin nature in me started to diminish. Instead of drinking a 24 of beer, it was down to a 6 in no time. And guess what? Now it's down to a bottle sometimes. God does things right. He knows what each and every one needs. Some he has to cut off to a cold turkey. Some he takes out of the fire slowly because they're not quite ready yet. So let the Lord open your heart to this. God is willing that none perish. And if you turn to him for this salvation, you can be sure he will in no wise cast you out. So let the Lord open your heart and make you a blessing. Amen.
I can take a heart that's broken, make it over again, but I know a man who can. I can take a soul that's sinful, make it whiter than snow, but I know a man. If you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can. I can't walk upon the waters, calm the dark and raging sea, but I know a man. Cause blind eyes to open, make the lame to walk again, but I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can. I can't break the chains of darkness or set the captives free, but I know a man. I can't take a life that's shattered. Maybe.
sorrow turn to joy, but I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you, and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can. Yes, I